Did you guys know the Prophet, peace be upon him, said,
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المؤمن تحت ظل صدقته يوم القيامة.
Prophet, peace be upon him, said, the one who gives in sadaqah, his sadaqah will be a shade on yawm al-qiyamah. And we're here every Friday and Sunday doing da'wah to many people, alhamdulillah. 7 shahadas 2 weeks ago.
Shahadu an la
ilaha
illallah.
Two
shahadas last week. You can support this, brothers and sisters, with the material. Alhamdulillah, some of them we pay for, some of them, alhamdulillah, we get for free as you guys donated to the Salah Plus project. Alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, if you can donate whatever you can, it will help our operations to have a cameraman, an editing team, and some of the brothers who come here, alhamdulillah, and dedicate their time and effort to giving da'wah, inshallah. The link is in the description box below.
Barakallahu feekum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys doing? We've seen some very scary things in the news, Zeeshan. And it seems like in the UK, people are trying to target kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the perpetrators that these people are, you know, hoping maybe it would be Muslim perpetrators. It turns out to be actually Christian perpetrators. Not to say that that's a connection with the faith here. But what's going on? What happened recently with this thing in Leicester Square? Tell us.
Yeah, just a couple of days ago, Leicester Square is an absolute hotspot of tourists.
Yeah.
And there was a guy in his 30s, Romanian, can't even speak English properly.
Mm-hmm.
This guy stabbed an 11-year-old girl and a 34-year-old woman. The 11-year-old girl, he stabbed 8 times. What
my
a
God.
Vile, oh, disgusting, disgusting, despicable act. And as this was happening, and people are there with their phones, minding their own business, a hero, an unsung hero, capeless crusader, Abdullah, who's a migrant, who's Asian and Muslim. His name, ironically, Abdullah means slave of Allah. So this slave of Allah, because in the riots they're saying, who the F is Allah? This slave of Allah, ironically, is the one that's jumping on the perpetrator, disarming him. I mean, this is something unheard of.
Yeah.
We're told by the authorities, if you see somebody...
He was unarmed himself.
He was unarmed. I mean, he's a security guard. And we know the security guards are just there like a scarecrow nowadays. They have barely any rights.
Mm.
So this individual, where people are running out with what's-its and they're not allowed to strong-arm them, he's put his life on the line, jumping on this man, disarming him for the sake of what I'm assuming is a white woman, protecting a white girl, protecting her from this white assailant, this immigrant, this Christian, with people are describing even knifing people has become very British, if you can call it that. And he is, you know, Allahu Akbar, putting his life on the line. So are these migrants coming over here, you know, stealing our jobs? No, the migrants coming over here and saving our girls.
Isn't it crazy that the whole narrative that's been painted or suggested, I think, in the last 3-4 weeks now, has been one that suggests Muslims in particular are the ones who are the cause of all of this.
Yes.
And in both cases, you have people from Christian majority countries. First one, Rwanda. Second one, Romania. Okay. One in Europe and one in Africa, who have no connection whatsoever with Islam, perpetrating these heinous acts.
One brother made a good point. He said, you know, when they assumed it was a Muslim, they started, you know, pelting the mosques by hijab. When they found out it was a Christian, why didn't they do that with churches?
Obviously, because of their connection with it. Look, this is prejudice at its finest. This is stereotype at its finest. This is really a contrivance of a narrative from right-wing ruffians who are very angry with themselves, really. That's what they're angry about. It's the summer holidays. They're looking at their lives and they're very angry with themselves. They haven't achieved what they wanted to educationally, familiarly, economically, financially, in any way. And they are the bottom of the barrel in terms of British society. And they need somebody to be upset with. They need a scapegoat. They need to project onto somebody. They need somebody to look at and say, the other, the impossible subject. They need somebody else to say, this is the reason why we're failures. And they have chosen two major subgroups, the Muslim community and the quote-unquote immigrant community. But in both cases, this
immigrant
is a
brown community, like when drawing caricatures, not mentioning any names, but they depict immigrants as brown people when over here, this guy wasn't brown at all. In fact, he was white.
That's what it is. And so the point is, the Muslim here is the one who saved the day. And isn't this going to placate some of you now? Shouldn't this now make you realize that not all Muslims are the
same? No, Hijab. You're being way too naive here, because Tommy Robinson, I saw his tweet and he said, look, you got to give credit where credit is due.
Uh-huh.
However, he then footnoted it with, if this is his Twitter page, he's an Islamist. He is, in other words, trying to discredit him.
Let's say he's an Islamist, for the sake of argument, which there's no evidence of it, I'm sure you're going to add. But doesn't this show what? So the Islamists are doing the job that, for example, your right-wing ruffians should be doing themselves. Instead of damaging and destroying the police forces and breaking place of worship and vandalizing them. I mean, this man here is unarmed and he's coming. He's a Muslim man.
Mm-hmm.
So the point I'm making here is that your narrative has failed. This is and I think, bro, this is outside agenda. It's clearly an outside agenda. This is, I think, it could be a Zionist. It could be a Zionist agenda, funded by somebody somewhere. Because why is it the case that this is all happening now with the Israel-Palestine conflict? This is a question that we have. Look at Tommy Robinson. No one will deny that he's one of the main protagonists of this whole thing, of the riots, right? No one will deny that. Okay, call him antagonist now, for the sake of argument. So how far away is it for us to assume that somebody like that, who's probably being funded by this group or that group or the other group, right, has intentionally put this narrative together and contrived this to create a distraction with what's happening in Palestine?
It wouldn't be surprising, because when Keir Starmer came, I think he was trying to recoup some of the Muslim voters that he lost by saying if Netanyahu was to come here, yes, he would be arrested. And, you know, he backpedaled on a lot of leeway that he had given to Israel by saying, pretty much green lighting the genocide that was taking place by saying, yes, it's okay. He was on LBC saying, self-defense, cutting off electricity, food, water, self-defense. And he got absolutely shredded to bits for that. Some people are saying maybe it could be a bit of a punishment because of that. But again, the Zionist agenda, especially with Tel Aviv Tommy Robinson, it's very clear. I mean, his funding, with a basic Google search, with a basic, I mean, even academics have looked into this. Professor David Miller, to quote at least one of them, has definitely looked and, you know, provided copious evidences of his link with Zionists. Which is undeniable, frankly. But what was interesting with Tommy Robinson was that he did try to disparage Abdullah by saying, oh, he's a Islamist. However, if you look at that account that Tommy Robinson shared, it was actually renamed only but a few days ago.
Yeah.
Before, the name was Fan of Putin. It wasn't even Abdullah's page.
Mm.
And only recently it got renamed to Abdullah.
Yeah, they're playing games, Ahi. They're playing games, but the jig is up, because at the end of the day, we're not going to be fooled anymore. And
where is Tommy, bro? Why isn't he here protecting the young girls? Why is he sitting in Cyprus with the Irish passport?
I can't believe that they're trying to create a narrative. It's interesting, isn't it? That they're trying to create a narrative where Muslim people supposedly are culprits of killing young girls, when Zionists and Western people, with the permission and sometimes the encouragement, are killing the most Western young girls probably in the last 30 to 40 years in the world.
Bro, even if we look in this country, it's white people that are obsessed with killing young children. Lucy Letby killed 7 babies and attempted to kill 6. She was a nurse. She was white. In fact, the deadliest mass shooting in British history was done by somebody called Thomas Hamilton in 1996, in which he killed 16 pupils.
Imagine this. That's 96. There was one recently with this guy called Jamie Barrow. Have you heard of that one? And he killed 3 people, and 2 of them were young girls, black. Actually Muslim as well. He was a white man. His name was Jamie Barrow.
No wonder we haven't heard of him.
He was jailed for 44 years. I didn't see the right wing coming out in the streets protesting that, the far right. And the reason why is because, bro, if it's not the other that's doing the crime, they will always look past it. Because they need this narrative, bro. It's a psychological thing. They need this narrative. They are failures in life. They are failures at home. They are failures economically. They are failures educationally. They are failures spiritually. In every single way, in every metric that you can measure, they are failures in life. And so what they need, because they are bottom of the barrel in British society, yeah, they need someone to blame. Mm. They need to project, they need to scapegoat, they need to say that this is the reason why we are the way we are. So that when they're sitting, eating, you know, their Kellogg's, you know, breakfast, or having their fish and chip lunch, or whatever it is that they have for dinner, you know, no, seriously, they can sit there with their wife watching the EastEnders in the background, and they can say, look, and she's complaining because she's not seen, you know, certain things from him, maybe physically, maybe, let's be real, or economically, whatever it may be. And the kid is outside, you know, their kid is outside and no one knows where they are, okay, being groomed maybe or something, okay.
Probably groomed by the Glasgow 7.
Maybe. You see what I'm saying? Because they're negligent parents, okay? And so here we have this person, and then they say, and then they're put on the news and see a brown person who's done something wrong. That's the reason why I'm in the situation that I'm in.
Mm.
They need that brown man. If they lived with only white people around them, they would be either socialists or communists, and they'd just blame the elites in terms of the socioeconomic elites, or they'd be self-hating, or there'd be an increase in suicide because they couldn't live with themselves. This is what would happen. They're failures. Stop using other communities as a justification for your own failures. Okay, just take responsibility for your own failures. Start at home, you know, and things will get better. But this thing, this contrivance of new narrative that Muslims are this and that and the other, when the two killers, or the two murderers, I should say, or in this case, attempted murder,
attempted.
Yeah, the two culprits, these two assailants, were not even Muslim, not even from Muslim majority countries. Your credit card, your victim card has expired, and the narrative now is dead, and the well has gone dry. And that's all I have to say, and I'm sure that's all Zeeshan has to say.
I just wanted to mention one other thing as well. With regards to the Glasgow 7.
Yes.
Now, normally I would have let it go and we would have concluded, but the Glasgow 7 is a very interesting case study because it was a child sex abuse case. The NSPCC said it was the worst one in decades.
Okay.
Yeah, the worst one in decades. And if you look at the pictures of the Glasgow 7, they're all white.
Really, bro.
Yeah. And again, they were plowing the kids with cocaine, with alcohol and vile stuff that I can't really mention in this video.
My God.
And like you said, there was no marches. Like you said,
I didn't even hear about it. I'm sure the far right, if you go and ask them about the, you know, Glasgow 7 or Jamie Barrow, all these white culprits, they have not heard the name. They've not heard the name of the victim. They don't actually care, bro. They do not actually care.
And it's dangerous because when you paint all these abusers, which if I'll put the statistics on the screen as well, they are majority white. They're majority white.
They are.
And the thing is that if you paint them out to be brown or black,
and if you look at, and look at who is being abused,
it's
look,
dangerous.
There's something called a Slavery Act in this country, and they put statistics every year of who gets abused. And it's people from Eastern Europe. It's people from Africa. So it's like, okay, the narrative that, oh, we've got all these white girls being abused by these Asians, the counter narrative is actually more accurate.
Yeah.
Because you've got all these white people, okay, going and taking these Eastern European girls, taking these African girls, and actually trading them, you know, trafficking them and so on, using them as slaves, modern day slaves. And that's with the admission of those who keep up those statistics for the Slavery Act. I think, I don't know, it was 2014 or whenever that was first initiated. But the point is, just look at the facts. Just look at the facts. Stop pretending that this is an issue to do with race or religion. If it is, then it's not Islam that's being suggested, because it can't be in these last two incidents. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.